If you do not get rid of the roadblocks, the speed bumps, the yellow lights, whatever you want to call it, the smoke screens, if you don't get rid of that in the beginning, when you make that offer, if you jump too soon to make that offer, they're going to have those thoughts.
You're listening to Flip Empire, the show committed to helping real estate entrepreneurs who want to build their empire without sacrificing their life. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's up, everybody? Alex Pardo here, and I'm looking forward to today's masterclass interview with Nathan Payne, who is somebody who I recently got to know. We're part of a community together where we're looking to inspire and help others attain financial freedom, time freedom through real estate investing. Now, obviously, you guys know there are numerous ways that you guys can do that. We're going to be talking today about wholesaling and how you guys can do your very first deal. So if you're somebody who is listening to this and you are like, I can't seem to break through, I'm struggling, I'm not sure where to start, there's so much noise and information out there, I think I have the right person to deliver the goods and share with you the painless way to do this. So with that being said, Nathan, man, it is awesome to have you on the show, brother.
What a pleasure, man. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, ready to give as much value as I possibly can in the time that we have.
Yeah, man. No. And speaking of value, man, I see you putting out a lot of content on social media and just sharing best practices, tips. And so just always have a lot of respect, man, for people that are out there just giving and helping people, man. So I think we have a aligned interest there. And that's part of the reason I do this podcast. It's the main reason and why you want to be on as well, man, is to help people. Yeah. And if people want to go further with you, then there's an opportunity to do that. But yeah, man, with that being said, I saw in your bio that you got started selling door to door. And you became one of the top salesmen in the country, I think I saw. So, man, talk to us about that experience, because I think when most people think door-to-door, that intimidates a lot of people. There's a lot of fear around that. Talk to us about your journey selling door-to-door and how that helped you grow as not just an entrepreneur, but just in sales in general.
So I got my beginnings for getting into door-to-door. I went on a mission for my church. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So I went on a two-year mission for my church to Portland, Oregon. And what did we do? We talk to people about Jesus and we knock on their door, right? So after 2 years of doing that, got back, and the college I went to, BYU Idaho, which is a sister school, Brigham Young University, people probably heard about it in Utah. There's just a ton of companies out. Guys are getting back from missions. They're probably good at knocking doors. Let's go recruit them. So I got recruited to go first into pest control, but then my friend's cousin worked in Dish, and he's like, Dish Network, the satellite TV, DirecTV. And they're like, come work for us. So I was like, okay. And you can make a lot of good money in that industry because it's hard work. So they pay pretty good. And went out, you go for 3 months. You basically go to college, and then your off semester, you go work for about 3 to 4 months. So I went and worked my first 3 months being brand new. I did $16,000, which was huge for me. I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. And then the next year I did $60,000 in 3 months. And that came from like hiring a team. And then the next year, like 120. And then it kept going up because basically you get paid off of doing your own accounts. And when you bring a team, you get overrides. So door to door was good. And I did it for a long time. I did it all throughout college. But I came from having 2 years of experience from talking to people about Jesus. And if you talk to anyone about Jesus, you got to have some guts because nobody really wants to talk to that guy who's, let me tell you about Jesus. Get away from me. So we got a lot of no's that, and I got a lot of no's in door to door. So I learned quickly that no is okay, is fine. Like it's not, you're not going to die. Yeah. So that's my experience in door to door. Just came from that.
Got it. Love it. And then how did you transition into, like, how did you discover the world of wholesaling real estate, and kind of, did you just stumble upon it? Did you have somebody in your life that, like, what was the inspiration behind going from going door to door sales to, hey, let me start my real estate business?
So it's pretty funny. I didn't even know what wholesaling was when I started. So my roommate in college, Corey Roysom, who later became my business partner, I was always trying to recruit him to come work with me in the summer. I'd be like, dude, it's fun. We can make some good money. He's like, ah, man, I'm going to go do some real estate here while you guys are out in the summer. I'm going to stay here and do real estate. And I was like, why? And he's like, my dad does wholesaling in Missouri. He does really well. I'm going to do it here. The whole time he's trying to get me to stay and do real estate, I'm like, just come with me. So after we graduated from college, like, he did deals and obviously up and down, just like anything. So I was like, I must not be that good. So after college, I was like, man, I don't know if I want to knock doors anymore. I got married, and every summer, every fall, you have to move somewhere to a new area to go knock because they don't want you to knock where you live because you get lazy and you go home. So they tell you to go somewhere else. So I was like, man, I don't want to move anymore. I got married. What can I do? I went and started doing a couple job interviews. And I didn't like the process of the interview. I was like, man, I'm a good salesman. I got skills. And these people were like, ask me questions like, why should I hire you? And I'm like, because I'm good. And that was like all I had for them. I was just like, I'm good. And they're like, nah. And so I didn't get a lot of jobs I interviewed for. So I was like, forget this, man. I'm going to go do my own thing. I got all this experience. So I called Corey and I said, Corey, I needed a new job. Let's get into real estate. You were doing it. Your dad does it. Let's do it. And he's like, okay. So he quit his job. I quit my job. And we just went all in into real estate, not knowing anything. Didn't even know what wholesaling was. Later found out that Corey didn't know that much either. I thought he knew a lot. So I was like excited to work with him, but he didn't know. So we both pretty much had to figure it out together. That's how we got started in real estate. That's a long answer, but that's
the story. No, that's good. That helps frame the conversation and give me a little bit of perspective. What year was this, Nathan?
2018 is when I started. I'm sorry, 2018.
2017. So let's start the conversation here. Let's start to take a little bit of a left turn. One of the things that I find when I have conversations with beginners, people looking to get started in real estate,
right,
is when I got started, dude, back in 2005, like I think YouTube was like an infant. Like it was just becoming a thing. There wasn't all this content out there. I feel like we live in such a content society. Everybody's producing content, right? And I think that's a blessing in many ways. And I think for some people looking to get started, it's they just see distractions. Oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. And then it's their attention is so scattered that they don't plant their flag on one niche, on one thing and say, hey, I'm going to get really good at this before I start to look at all these other biz op opportunities or these different niches within real estate.
I see you hard, man.
You agree with me. So for you, getting started in 2017 when there was a lot more content than when I got started, what was it about wholesaling that was it because your partner Corey and his dad were already doing wholesaling and so you just said, hey, that makes sense because you're already doing it? Or was there something else about that specific niche that you said, hey, this is what I'm going to get really good at?
Man, it's such a good question. And it's such a hard thing. I empathize with everybody out there that is out here in the content world and the age we're in of like wisdom. They call it the age of wisdom, but it's really just the age of distraction, in my opinion, if you don't know how to use it wisely. But it's tough. Like in 2017, 18, I wasn't watching YouTube content either, like trying to get stuff like education. I just went for it. I didn't even know there was education at that point either. I was just like, let's just go for it. Me and Corey, we started wholesaling because we didn't have any money. And we knew that was like the strategy where you didn't have to bring any money. Like at that time, that's what we knew about. But yeah, no, I didn't watch anything. I didn't really dive into education. I've never really been huge into like just educating myself a ton before I do something. I usually just dive in. I feel like that's like a blessing and a curse, but also the curse is too much education and analysis paralysis because you're right. Like, there's so many ways to do deals and I feel bad for people. And I talk to people every day that are like, I want to do this. And I just got an opportunity from here. Like I got a fourplex I'm looking at and a commercial building and I got a wholesale deal. And I'm like, man, you got to drop all of that and just focus on one thing. I know what you're saying, but for me, it was just straight went in, didn't know anything about it. I just took action.
You and I are similar in that I always say I'm a ready, fire, aim type of guy. And to your point, it's a blessing and a curse. Most of the times, I think it's a blessing. And there's a few times I wish I had a mulligan. I wish I can get a do-over on that. Like, hey, maybe I should have like really been a little bit more thoughtful through this process. But man, I want to start to now transition into like, you talk about the painless way of wholesaling and flipping. Obviously, that's a play on your last name, but what is the painless way? What is the specific or unique path that you found to be successful in wholesaling in today's market?
Yeah. So the main issue that most wholesalers, and I would say even experienced wholesalers face, they really just don't know if it's a deal or not, right? Like everybody knows it's a deal if you can get it really low.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that's easy. And they teach that rule for that reason. They say 70% of ARV minus your wholesale repairs and your wholesale fee, you got a deal. That's good in most main markets, but that's not true in a lot of the United States. Sometimes you got to be 50% ARV. Sometimes you have to be 40%. In Utah, you can be 87% ARV minus repairs. Mm-hmm. So it just depends. So when people get stuck in that, like, line of thinking of I got to be here and they don't know the market, they don't know buyers, they don't know who they can ask, they're passing up on tons of deals. So the painless way is just throwing your hands up and saying, hey, I'm going to do my best to negotiate a good deal, but in all reality, I don't know. It's okay to not know. Let's say we're talking to a seller, for example, and they want you give them a range. And it's a sales process that I go through. I never give anyone like a solid offer until they're ready to sign. So it's all about like anchors and getting them ready. But let's just go through a scenario. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So talking to a seller, you find out they have a situation that would say, hey, this is someone I can work with and make their payments. They want to move. It needs a lot of repairs. And they want to be done. They're tired. And you've already suggested listing it. They said, no, you already suggested keeping it. So they're qualified. So you say, hey, look, I know originally when we first talked, you were wanting about 280. Zillow says about 320, but you're saying 280 is what you want because you're saying minus commissions and fees. You think that's fair. This is not my offer, but usually we buy properties similar to yours in this range. Don't get offended. The range is anywhere from 195 to 225. I'm just throwing that out there. So I go lower, right? And this is usually what happens. If you get a deal there and they're like, oh, okay, I could probably do 225. You got a deal, right? You anchored low and you got something that makes sense. Well, usually what happens, right? Do they say, nah?
Sometimes I always look for their reaction. They're like, 225, like I'd never do that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's usually the reaction. If you're new at wholesaling, what do? Most people are just like, they try to just beat them up or negotiate and they make an offer and then they say, okay, I'm going to follow up with you. And they put them in a drip or they follow them up until they find out that they sold to someone else.
Or even worse, they don't follow up.
They don't follow up. And the thing is, that is an opportunity. That's someone that you can work with. So that's a painful way to do business, especially if you're paying for leads and you don't get a lot. And so what I do is I say, hey, look, I totally get it. I wouldn't do that if I were you either, but you'd already told me you don't want to list it, all these other options. What are you going to do? They're like, yeah, I don't know. I'm probably going to have to check with some other people. I said, I totally get it. Just curious, how close could you get to the 195 to 225? I could probably do 250. Okay. So right now, I personally don't believe in the situation that 250 is a deal. I don't want to tell this lady who's going to depend on me and believe that I'm going to buy her house at 250, that it's like a done deal. Even if you preface it the right way, like they think it's done. Uh-huh. And I don't like doing that to sellers because I know I'm going to have to renegotiate most likely. This is why I say, okay, 250 is close. And this is the painless flipping method when it's close. I say, hey, look, I totally get it. 250, that's pretty close, but 100% for me to buy it and agree with that, I'd have to be lower. Look, I know a couple cash buyers in my network that can pay more than me. They own their own crews. They get material bulk. Whatever the situation is, I think they usually can pay a little bit more than me. Is it okay if I run this by them to see if they can pay a little bit more and I can wholesale it to them or partner with them on the deal? You say whatever you want. What do you think the seller is going to say?
Yeah, sure.
So I say, okay, great. So in order for me to do this, all I have to do to like legally market this and get this in front of my people, all we have to do is sign an agreement. And then you just go through the real estate purchase contract and you just do a normal agreement with a due diligence, except they know what's going on. Now, if they don't want to sign that, you have an option to purchase agreement. You can ask for 5 days. If they don't want to sign that, and you can just say, hey, I'm going to do the painless way. Let me just call a couple of the buyers I know in my area and just ask them where they would be. Because we have a motivated seller who's eventually going to come down, or maybe they pay more than I think. Yeah. Then I call my buyer. So there's ways to monetize this lead still without having to just make the offer and just throw my hands up and be like, I'll follow up with you later. We get that done the painless way. We get some buyers through. Everybody's at 200,000, right? I was at 195 to 225 in this example. Everybody's at 200. I'm glad I didn't say 250 and just lock it up and try it because renegotiating is going to be tough. I call her. I say, hey, look, we've had all the cash buyers that I work with that I would wholesale it through. They're all around here. I know you want to get it done. You said the lowest you go for 250, but really, realistically, it's really going to be around 200. You can keep trying this. I've been doing this for years. I know all the people in the area, right? So what do you want to do? I can't accept that low. I said, great. There's a couple other options. We can do an ovation, I explain what that is, or I can buy it on creative, but what it's going to look like is you're going to have to take it in payments. So we go explore other options at that point. And who's she going to work with? The random dude that calls her and pitches sub to, or me, who's already gone through this process and they built the trust, because really, I just want her to get her best option. That in a nutshell is the painless flipping method.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's simple. It takes the pressure off. There's a lot to unpack there, man. There's a lot you said in between the lines that I want to ask some follow-up questions on. But before I ask you some questions about, you know, you mentioned the word novations. I'm certain there's going to be people listening saying, did he say novations? Like, what is that? So I want to ask you about that. You talked about creative. I'm a big advocate of presenting 2 to 3 offers to sellers, right? So, and this is more just my sheer curiosity is, I noticed you took a little bit of a different approach than what I'm used to hearing. Usually I hear either somebody makes an offer, and then to your point, if they don't accept it, then they follow up or they don't follow up. I typically present offers up front, 2 to 3 offers up front. I noticed yours is a little bit nuanced. You said, here's my offer, right? If it doesn't work, you took the approach of, well, let me reach out to like my networks. I have some cash buyers that might pay more. And then depending on their response, you can, you know, tie that up one of numerous ways that you explained. I noticed then when that doesn't work because people are too low or they're where they need to be, then you present the other two options. Did you always do it that way, or did you like test that works better for you? Or does, in your opinion, does it not matter if you present 2 to 3 offers up front versus one, wait, and then present other two options?
I find a confused mind that says no. So yep. When I offer all three up front, it seems difficult for them to compartmentalize or understand or quantify or really just take it in. And usually what they want is they want the speed, right? That's what they want. They want it done quick. So I say, okay, let's explore that. And I find it builds trust as you go through the process. Like when people start walking through their house that are cash buyers that you sent through, like they know you're legit. If I'm just pitching, I'm not saying what you do or anybody to do is wrong, but if I start pitching sub two or Novation or that, like without us like really diving in and working a little bit more together, I find it more difficult to build that trust and them want to work with me. Especially I do everything virtually, right? So this might be a different model too, because I'm never there. So in order for them to build that trust, I feel like getting people there and going through this process helps versus like never seen me, I'm not there, and I try to get them to agree on that. I find it takes time sometimes to build that trust. Now, if someone's like, I get on a call and they've gone through this process already, they've already talked to a bunch of cash buyers, they've already gotten out of contract a lot, like no reason to do any of this, right?
Yeah,
this right. is the person that you're taking through the process almost from start to finish versus a person who's talked to 10 other cash buyers and they're not sure and they're just like weighing options. Then it's like, okay, and then let's do creative because you've already gotten lowballed by 10 other people. So yeah. I guess I need to preface this by saying this is where like you're taking someone that is just at the very beginning of the process to the end where they feel confident and comfortable going forward versus someone that sometimes you yeah. just make the best option offer and yeah. you win.
And look, I think you bring up an interesting point is that there's not necessarily a right or a wrong way per se. You have to find the way that works for you. And clearly, Nathan, this is the process that works for you. I'm curious. I'm glad you mentioned the nuance that you're doing this virtually because when I ran my wholesaling operation, it was all face-to-face. And so I love the fact that now so many wholesalers have transitioned to virtual. Are these typically phone calls? Are they typically Zoom calls? Is it a hybrid? And if so, what have you found to be more effective?
Hybrid. Zoom calls, love them. Google Meets, phone calls. But usually we find that phone calls are fine. That's sufficient. If we do a Zoom, I don't honestly feel like Zooms add, from my experience, they add like too much value. Yeah. I would say the content of the call is what adds the value, like where they can trust you. Like, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. So
yeah,
but
yeah.
Either one, I'm totally down to meet. If I feel like I have to educate them more and show them comps or like show them stuff, then a screen share Zoom call is good.
That's interesting. Yeah. No, look, thinking about pros and cons, one thing about Zoom is you can see the person. There's a different level of connection. You can evaluate their body language. You might ask questions and see there are certain benefits that I think you can get from Zoom. However, if you're talking to an old school seller that Zoom might be a big challenge, you don't want to waste all that time trying to get them to that point. Like, get them on the phone.
Yeah, time is of the essence, of course.
Yeah.
Time is will kill all deals.
100%. I noticed you mentioned a few things that maybe some people didn't catch, but like you talked about like you pre-qualified this person, you've already pushed them towards listing. That's counterintuitive to some people that maybe haven't really gone deep when it comes to sales. Talk about just high level. We don't have to get too much into the weeds, but I can tell you have a sales process. And I don't know if that's setting an advanced agreement and then getting into their particular, their pain points and then their picture perfect. What is your just sales framework that you take people through?
So it's the Franklin Covey guys, it's John Martinez, it's all that stuff where you set the stage, you set the end in mind, you want to let them know, you want to frame the conversation, and you take it in bits and pieces, right? If they're thinking about selling, you're not making an offer on the same call, right? They're not there yet, right? You have to take it in bits and pieces. And for me, like the reason why I qualify sellers is because if you do not get rid of the roadblocks, the speed bumps, the yellow lights, whatever you want to call it, the smoke screens. If you don't get rid of that in the beginning, when you make that offer, if you jump too soon to make that offer, they're going to have those thoughts and they're going to say, thanks for your offer. I still need to do this and this and this. I need to talk to my Aunt Joan. I trust her and she's actually an agent. If you don't even talk about listing and they have it at the very end, you find out like, oh, my aunt is an agent. So let me run this by her and see what she thinks. You're done. If you call her, what do you got to say now? You already gave her the offer that she didn't want to talk to you. So you have to hold your offer back. That's your leverage. So anyway, painless flipping, basically, it's like you have to go through this process the right way. I think a lot of people struggle in this business. Mainly getting leads is a tough part, right? You have to market. But once you have the lead, can you quantify? Can you make money off of that?
Convert it.
And I think that's the problem. I think that's people right. think it's just like you make a low offer and they'll accept. Not even close.
Yeah. Yeah. To your point, I find a lot of people focus on the marketing and the lead gen, which is super important in any business, but they don't focus enough time on the actual conversion of those leads, like the sales process. And so many people have leads sitting in their CRMs that are not being monetized that I can pretty much confidently say this, Nathan, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you'd agree 99.9% of people listening to this that have leads have money in those leads. They just haven't converted them yet.
Of course.
What is working for you from a marketing perspective? I know you're doing this virtually, so unless you have a team of door knockers, but what are you focused on, one or two particular marketing channels? Is your approach like, hey, I have a bunch of different channels? Like, what are you finding that's being really effective for you right now?
So these are the two that we focus on. Direct to wholesaler, because wholesalers have potential deals, but then they have to find a buyer for them.
Uh-huh.
Because of the process that we run, the painless flipping, like where we run it by the cash buyers in the area, we don't always have cash buyers that we can run it by. We use a strategy where we specifically target flippers that we know are flipping in the area by the property and agents, and we call them. So we do that on properties where other wholesalers are trying to wholesale them, and then we just add our fee and we JV with them. And that's zero cost. And there's thousands of deals out there. And the New Western, all these other companies have come out, like we do that with their deals. Because sometimes they don't even have like good buyers that will perform, or we'll have a better buyer. So that's one. And then direct to seller pre-foreclosures. We tell people to go hand dial, call, like hand dial, call, text, audio message, get a hold of the people on everybody on the pre-foreclosure list, go knock on their door. If they don't answer, handwritten letter. So it's basically hyper-focused on pre-foreclosures, probates, and direct to wholesaler.
I'm curious, Nathan, with direct to wholesaler, I think I heard you say that you guys are adding your fee. How are you guys handling those calls from maybe some of your top buyers or people on your buyers list saying, hey, I already saw that deal for X and you guys have added your $3,000, $5,000, $10,000. How do you navigate that conversation?
Great questions. That's the kind of the sauce. You don't just take a deal that you've seen and you start trying to dispo it. You call the wholesaler that has it and you try to find the scoop, trying to find out what's going on. Hey, what do you really have it at? And I'll do my best to get a better deal. Oh, just throw your fee on top. Totally get it. But I just, what option, like what other offers have you received just so I can use that as leverage? Because a lot of the time wholesalers do not send out their deals at a good price. And a lot of buyers will just look at it and they'll have price reductions because they won't be able to sell them. I'll be like, okay, look, so you sent out a 220. Are you getting a lot of bites on it? No, I'm not. Okay, what do you really have it for? I got a 170. Okay, so you're trying to make 50, 70K on this or whatever the math is. And then I say, okay, now I know that. Now I know what wiggle room we have. So it's more of a like trying to understand the situation. It's the same process with seller, right? You're just calling the wholesaler and finding out, hey, are you motivated? Do you need help? If they're like, man, I got this. I got like 100 people that are interested. I don't need you. I'm not going to work that one. Yeah. I'm going to work ones where I feel are good. So it's mainly just talking to them. I never work a deal if I don't first understand the situation of the wholesaler, because they could just have a dispo that day and I just waste all my time. So
yeah,
no daisy chaining. It's literally calling wholesaler, and wholesalers will call you and be like, hey man, I got this one. I don't want to take it down. I'm going to have to buy it. If I can't find a buyer, can you help me out?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So relationships with the wholesalers is key, is not just doing what you talked about earlier, which is just dispoing anything, but taking it an extra mm-hmm. step or two further, picking up the phone, having a conversation. And then sometimes you might already have a buyer in your back pocket that you know, hey, they're looking for this specific product in this specific area. And so maybe it's just a text or a voice memo away. Exactly. A couple of things as we start to wind down here, Nathan, I heard you talk about before you got into real estate, building a team. Have you done that in your existing business, or do you like to keep it like just really lean and mean? And you're primarily the one on the sales, including the dispo, you keeping more of the pie. What's your approach?
This is a great question. I've done it all, bro. I've built big teams. I've had high overhead. I've had nobody, and it's just me.
You and I?
Yeah. Dude, I honestly do not like the business model of a big team for wholesaling. I think it's expensive. I think the overhead's too great. You don't keep enough of the pie. I think wholesaling, personally, for me, the lifestyle, like of having a big team where you got to get everyone to catch, get all those leads. Anyway, you have to find really good closers. It's yep. just It's not something I'm really that interested in, or I don't teach people. I teach people how to keep it lean, keep it mean, keep it all, keep it small, keep it all. And that's what I do myself, man. I think I've done like 150K in wholesaling this year, but get to keep a majority of it. Like, I'm not doing anything. I used to do 750, like a million. And then you look at the bottom line, dude, all that work I had to do and all that risk, didn't get to keep a lot of it. That's my opinion. That's just me.
I got it. No, man, I've been there. 2019, our overhead was between 40 and 44 grand a month. I had a team of 9. And it's interesting. I made more money in 2006 by myself, like net, than I did in 2018 when I had a team and a bunch of overhead and putting out different kind of fires. And there's some things that I would go back if I were to do that again, which I have no desire to. I would do different that I've learned from. But yes, the bigger your team gets, your margins are going to shrink. And so a lot of this goes back to your vision and what do you want, right? Like, when I started to scale, I did it because I joined a high-level mastermind, and I felt if I see these people scaling, like, I need to scale, not knowing that I needed to scale responsibly, and scaling to get bigger is not always the answer if you're going to scale to be better.
Dude, that's exactly right. That same thing happened to me. I joined like a high figure, like a 6-7-figure mastermind, and that's what everybody was doing. And I was like, bro, right now I just bought a farm in Canada. I moved here mortgage free. I don't have to make that much money like to survive. Like, I'm working. And the thing is, like, people want to scale because so they don't have to work. Good luck scaling yourself out where you just sit on a beach somewhere. And most guys that I know who've scaled big businesses, they either want to keep working because they just love it. Like, most people do not just want to be done and just sit there. So I don't mind doing the work. I enjoy teaching people how to do it. I think it's fun. I like making an impact, but you have to understand your vision and what you actually want in life. And what I find as I work with some of the clients that we have is they all just want freedom of time, and they just want to be happy. So that's it. You can have freedom of time still being small. Like, you can do your own schedule. What do you want? Free time where you never have to work ever? That's not really what people do in life. People want to work. They want to do something. So
that's right. We're created and built to work, believe it or not. But you got to do it within, have a vision, right? That's why I'm so big on having a vision for your life, then building a business to enhance that vision. Heather, I appreciate everything that you've shared, man. You talked about you working with clients. Like, where can people reach out to you and tell us a little bit about what you do in terms of helping people get started in this business?
So there's two places where I would say is the best place to work with us or learn more about us. We have a Facebook group called Painless Flipping Free Facebook group. If you want to explore anything I've talked about for free, we have a free course that basically outlines how to do what I said, you working with agents and how to find buyers first and leverage buyers to do deals. That's at our free Facebook group. Go as soon as you join. There's resources. There's people helping. There's funny me. It's a good community, right? And it's free. If you want to work with me and you're like, I'll join the Facebook group, but I want to talk to you on the phone, Nathan, or I want to talk to your team and see how I can work with you, painlessflipping.com. It explains how our apprenticeship works and how you can work with us, how we hop on the phone with you to help you with your deals, how we can role play and train you with our program. painlessflipping.com. Book a call. Go directly to me. But either one of those, that's where you can find me.
And guys, it's pain as in P-A-Y-N-E. Okay. P-A-Y-N-E. Yeah. Painlessflipping.com. Nathan, brother, I appreciate it, man. Love what you're doing, dude. And I look forward to watching your journey as you grow and as you help other people. So
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on. And I look forward to having you on mine too.
Hey everybody, what's up? It's Nathan Payne. And for the first time ever, we just released this insane training bundle that has literally everything that I've learned from doing a combined 4,000 deals in real estate, all from starting with absolutely no previous business background experience or any real estate experience. Plus there's over $19,000 worth of free gifts that we're throwing in, all for an insanely low, low price. If you want to get your hands on this, be sure to click the first link on the description below right now.